Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The prophet Hosea was the only one of the writing prophets to have come from the northern kingdom of Israel. He prophesied for about 38 years during the middle of the 8th century BC, in the final years before Assyria carried Israel into captivity. His message was a warning of the judgment that was coming upon them because of their lengthy history of rebellion against God. Whereas Amos, who preceded Hosea, had warned of an unnamed enemy who would carry out God's judgment against Israel, Hosea identified that enemy as Assyria. Although Hosea's prophecies were directed to Israel, there are a number of references to Judah throughout the book. This has led some commentators to suggest that it may have been written in Judah shortly after the fall of Samaria. While the book bears the name of Hosea, it cannot be stated with any certainty that he wrote it. Nevertheless, this book preserves the record of a tragic period in Israel's history, when God's patience finally ran out on the 10 northern tribes. We know virtually nothing about Hosea beyond what is written in this book, but he, like so many of the prophets, endured great hardship in order to proclaim God's word to the people. In Hosea's case, this hardship was of the most intimate kind, because God used Hosea's marriage to symbolize Israel's unfaithfulness. It is this part of Hosea's life and ministry that is most troubling to us. For a few moments today, we will consider God's command to Hosea to take a wife of harlotry. After the conquest of the Promised Land and the death of Joshua, the nation of Israel briefly lived under the sovereignty of God without a designated leader. When a new generation arose that did not know God or what he had done for his people, the nation fell into a period of chaos for more than 300 years. During this time, God periodically raised up judges to deliver his people from their oppressors and to lead them back to faithfulness toward God. In the time of Samuel, the people demanded a king to be appointed to rule over them, just like all the other nations around them. God granted them this wish and anointed Saul as their first king. For about 120 years, the nation was stable and prospered, especially under the godly leadership of David. Solomon ruled over Israel at the height of his glory, but when he died, his son Rehoboam rebuffed the counsel of the older men who had advised his father and dealt harshly with the people. As a result, 10 tribes broke off under the leadership of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and took the name of Israel for themselves. This occurred shortly after Solomon's death in 931 BC. For the next 200 years, Israel drifted farther and farther away from God as they followed the worship devised by their kings. When God called Hosea to preach to Israel, they were rushing headlong toward the judgment that God was bringing upon them. Hosea's mission was to warn them of this judgment and to call them back to repentance, because it was not yet too late for them to be saved. With this as Hosea's mission, God came to him with an extraordinary command. In Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, "The word of the Lord which came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of harlotry, and have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord." Here in the first 2 verses of this book, we find one of the most perplexing commands of God anywhere in Scripture. God tells his prophet to take a wife of harlotry. Commentators have long struggled with this. Was God telling Hosea to marry a prostitute? Some think this was possible because the word harlot is often used as a substitute for prostitute in Scripture. However, this word is also used of any kind of marital unfaithfulness. It is also used of spiritual unfaithfulness, which was especially the case in Hosea's time. Some commentators choose to treat this section of Hosea as an allegory for the relation between God and Israel. If this is the case, then this is just a fictitious story about Israel's unfaithfulness to God. This seems unlikely, especially since we know that God rarely used such devices with his prophets. More often than not, he actually had them act out the message that he wanted to convey to his people. The more likely explanation is that God did indeed command Hosea to marry a woman who was unfaithful. Commentators who take this position, however, are divided as to the nature of her character. Some suggest that Gomer was unfaithful even before Hosea married her. If so, this suggests that perhaps Gomer was in fact a prostitute before she married Hosea. Others suggest that Gomer was faithful at first and only later became unfaithful to Hosea. This second view seems more likely for two reasons. First, it relieves us of the thought that God commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute. There is something about that idea that is repulsive and inconsistent with what we know of our Father in heaven. Second, this explanation more accurately fits what happened with Israel. They were not unfaithful at the beginning, but became so over time. In Hosea chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, the scripture tells us of the beginning of Hosea's marriage to Gomer. The scripture says, "So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, Name him Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the bloodshed of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I would ever forgive them. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah, and deliver them by the Lord their God, and will not deliver them by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. When she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, Name him Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." As Hosea's marriage to Gomer played out, it portrayed the way in which the spiritual relationship between God and Israel had unfolded over the preceding centuries. We see that initially Gomer was faithful to Hosea. When a son was born to them, God gave the boy a name to signify the judgment he was going to bring against the descendants of Jehu and against Israel as a nation. Whenever this boy's name was called, God's impending judgment was declared against them. In verses 6 through 8, however, there is a subtle change in the way in which the births of the text of the two children are described. In verse 3, the scripture says that Gomer bore him a son, referring to Hosea. In verses 6 through 8, the text simply says that Gomer conceived and bore a daughter, and then a son. The absence of the pronoun him in these verses has led some commentators to suggest that these children were born as a result of Gomer's unfaithfulness to Hosea. This seems to fit the context, considering the names God gave these two children. The daughter's name indicated that God would no longer have compassion on Israel. The son's name indicated that Israel was no longer God's people, nor he their God. This also seems to fit well with the context of chapter 2, in which God derides the unfaithfulness of Gomer as an example of the unfaithfulness of Israel toward him. Even so, Hosea chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 suggested that God was willing to take his people back and would at some point restore them to himself. This truth is borne out in chapter 3, where God commands Hosea to go and find Gomer and to bring her back to his house. The scripture says, "Then the Lord said to me, Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, You shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or household idols. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days." By this time, Gomer had left Hosea and had apparently fallen into slavery. This certainly symbolized what would happen to Israel when God's judgment came upon them. However, as God instructed Hosea to find and redeem his wife, he was illustrating his continued love for Israel. Nevertheless, a price had to be paid for their unfaithfulness, and this is illustrated in the fact that Hosea withheld marital relations from Gomer for many days. Gomer would not be fully restored as Hosea's wife until she had suffered the shame of her unfaithfulness. In similar manner, Israel would suffer the shame of their spiritual unfaithfulness to God before being fully restored to him. It is important to note that the 10 tribes as a nation never existed again. There was no restoration to the land for them, as there would later be for Judah after the Babylonian captivity. Nevertheless, the Jews of Israel who turned back to God would be restored to their covenant relationship with him. We see this fulfilled in the lives of Jews who fled to Judah after the fall of Samaria. These Jews, who were primarily from the tribes of Ephraim and Benjamin, sought to return to the Davidic kings whom their forefathers had forsaken. The remnant of these tribes became a part of Judah as a result of turning back to God. When we consider the marriage of Hosea to Gomer, we see a living portrayal of the pain caused by infidelity. Of course, we do not have to personally experience marital infidelity to understand this pain. The nature of marriage is such that we instinctively know what happens when a spouse is unfaithful. Sadly, there are few homes today that have not experienced this pain, whether directly through an unfaithful spouse or indirectly through the unfaithfulness of a family member's wife or husband. For this reason, we should be able to understand how God felt when Israel abandoned him to follow other gods. In addition to this, however, the marriage of Hosea and Gomer is a living portrayal of the steadfast love of God. In the same way that God sent Hosea to bring his wayward wife back home, he never stopped seeking to bring his people back to him. Such faithfulness and love is astounding to us, for few of us are capable of such love. The reason why God's love is so amazing, though, is because it has nothing to do with emotion. God's love is an act of his will to love his people in spite of their response to him. As we search for a practical application of the story of Hosea and Gomer, the lesson is clear. God loves us beyond our ability to comprehend it, but he demands fidelity. We cannot run hot and cold in our relationship with him and please him. When we follow the gods of this world, whatever they may be, we deeply hurt our Father in heaven, who paid the price for our sins with the blood of his only Son. When we follow the gods of this world, his only desire is to bring us back home. As long as we remain estranged from God by our sins, he cannot take us back into his household. If we pass from this life while estranged from God, our souls will be lost in eternity. However, at any time while we still draw breath, if we turn back to God in penitent humility, he will forgive our sins and will take us back. There is no one else and nothing else that loves us so much as our Father in heaven. When we obey the gospel, we are added to the church, which is the bride of Christ. As such, God expects us to be faithful to this relationship, just as he expects a husband and wife to be faithful to each other. When we fail to live up to our commitment to the Lord, we are like an unfaithful wife who turns her attentions to another lover. God will not overlook such infidelity and will hold accountable each person who is unfaithful to him. Let us take the lesson of Hosea and Gomer and not test God's steadfast love. Let us not be a wife of harlotry. Instead, let us resolve to be faithful to God until we stand before him in judgment. Then there will be no question that we will find a place prepared for us in his home in heaven. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.